Hello to all my Fabarami Yeshiva Torah Moshe around the world. Continuing on our Shir in Mishnayos, Maseches Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin, which in the Gemara is on Daf Mem He Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah starts, Miyad HaTinokos Shomtem Es Lulavehem. Okay, the Lulavim would be taken from the hands of the Tinokos. So Rashi and Rav say the older people would grab the Lulavim of the Tinokos from their hands on the day of Hoshana Rabbah after it was not needed anymore for the mitzvah. And Daf Mem Vavim Beis, Rashi Diremaschal Miyad says another pshat that immediately after the end of using it for the mitzvah, the Tinokos would throw their Lulavim away, they would put them on the side like it has in Beya Chav Ches Mabes, Shomto, Omenicha Bekerem Zavis, take it and put it in the corner, and then they would go and eat their Esrogim. And Rashi says it doesn't seem right because we have in Vayikra Rabbah, Seder B'chukosai Parasha Lamed Zayin, a story of a Chassid Echad that gave some staka to a poor person. His wife was upset with him. He had to run away from home. He didn't have anything to sustain himself with. And it was the seventh day of Hoshana Rabbah. He went and he started grabbing the Esrogim from the hands of the children. Okay, like we have in our Mishnah, it brings there in Vayikra Rabbah from our Mishnah, Miyad HaTinokos Shomtem. And some other chassid was going by in a boat, and they went to an island, and near, they found that the king needed a srogim to help him cure himself from some disease. And this person who had a bunch of a srogim was able to sell them at a real high price and come back home and show his wife, made a big profit. So you see there from the story that the Gedolim did actually take them from the Tinokos. But Tosfos writes the other pshat, because the Gemara and Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis is mashman this way, as he mentions in the Tosfos here, Divrei Maaskel Miyad HaTinokos. The Rosh in Perek Dalet, Mendalet explains that the word shomate is you separate the lulav from the aravos and the hadasim, and then they would play with the lulavim, which are nice big long sword-like objects, and it's easy, more fun to play with them. Okay, continuing on. For Oklan Esrogehem, so Rashi says they would eat the esrogim of the children, and it wasn't like it was gezel stealing from the kids, and it wasn't Darkei Shalom, because that was the minig that people did. It was a joyful occasion. Everyone was doing this, grabbing and eating other esrogim. So it was accepted custom. The Rav writes, it's not gezel. He doesn't mention anything about Darkei Shalom. And he brings a second shot that Tinokos, the second shot that the Tinokos would throw their lulavim down and eat their esrogim on Hoshana Rabbah. But the bigger people wouldn't eat their own esrogim the whole day, because since it was huksa the mitzvah, it was set aside to do the mitzvah in the morning, even part of the day. So it was muksa the rest of the day for the mitzvah, and they couldn't use for anything else. Okay, moving on to the next Mishnah, Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches, which the Gemara is also on Daf, no, which is now on Mem Ches Amit Aleph. It says there, Ha-Halal Va-Simcha Shmona. 8 days, he did the Halal and Simcha. Rashi says, it's Shalmei Simcha. That's what we're talking about, the Simcha. They had Shlamim all 8 days, including Shmini Atzeres. And Halal means they finished the whole Halal. Okay, the Mishnah says, Malam Shachayv Adam B'Halal B'Simcha B'Kavad Yantav V'Achron Shal Chag Kishay Masachag. Mishnah says, we see that there was an inyan of Halal and Simcha, and having covered for the Yantif on the last day, on Shmini Atzeres, like any other day. Does Yantif brings from the Gemara on Chesam and Beis, it says, in Devarim, Perek Tes Ayin, Pasuk Tes Vav, V'Yisa Ach Sameach. Okay, we learn it from there, because the Pesukim right before this say, V'Samach B'Chaykecha, and it says, Shivis Yav M'tochuk L'Hashem L'Okecha. So Ach is Mimarba, the night after Shmini, after Shana Rabbah, also is the Dinner of Simcha, on Shmini Atzeres. The Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tav Kuf Lamas of Katan Aleph says we also have to be mechabed the Chol HaMoed. Don't just think of the days of the real Yantif, but Chol HaMoed as well. There's a chiyuv to be mechabed with Michael, with Mishta, with Chassis Lakia, wears nice clothes, eat, drink well. You shouldn't treat it as a regular weekday, the Chol HaMoed. And the Shaar HaTzion in Ayis Dalet says, but it means you mechabed it more than any weekday, but you don't have to mechabed it as much as completely like Yantif. Okay? Because there, by Yantif, it says Mekra Kodesh. Okay? So, here, it is more kula from a Mekra Kodesh, because we're Mekel on a Davar Abed, something which you might lose money, you're allowed to do the work, you can do it on Chol HaMoed, you can't do it on Yantif. The Meiri asks, how do we learn from the word of Ach? Okay. How do we learn a Chiv of Simcha on Shmi Atzeres from the word of Ach? Because Ach is a Miyat. It's holding back, lessening. So how are we learning something extra? The answer is that the Ach is coming to teach you that anything else which is not Simcha, you should refrain from. And all you have left then is the Simcha. And that's the Simcha you use on the Shmini Atzeres. So the Ach is Mamayit every other activity on Shmini Atzeres besides the Simcha. The Sefer HaMechtim answers that we're marbed Shmini Atzeres from the word Sameach. It says Ach Sameach, we're marbed from the Sameach, not from the word Ach. The Gra brings in Torah, is brought in Torah Tumima, Devarim, Tez Zayin Pasuk Hei, the Teretz, then in Sukkah there are plenty of mitzvahs besides Simcha. The Sukkah, there's Arba Minim, and the Torah is Machayev Ach, to tell you, no, on Shmini Atzeres, we don't have those other mitzvahs, all we have left is a Miyat, all we have left is the Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. Now, the mission continues, Sukkah Sheva Ketzad, what does that mean, 7 days for Sukkah, Gomer Lachol, when you finished eating, Rashi says, on the seventh day on Hashanah Rabbah, lo yata sukkaso, shouldn't take the sukkah apart when you just, as soon as you finish eating on Hashanah Rabbah. Rashi and Rav explain, we shouldn't untie the ties, okay, because it should be up the whole day, because it's a chiv to sleep in it and to relax in it. And if, let's say, somebody brings any food, you'll eat it inside the sukkah, so don't take it apart the whole Hashanah Rabbah. But he adds, it's a bizarre mitzvah, like you, as soon as you can, you get to rip apart and get rid of that mitzvah as quick as you can. So, for whatever reason, don't take your sukkah apart on Hashanah Rabbah. Aval, the mission says, Mayridus akele min amincha lamala. You can take your vessels back into your house from the afternoon on, Rashi Rav says, and the sheets, pillowcases, mattresses, anything you use there, the sukkah, as it says in Perek HaYoshen, Daf Chaf Ches Abeis, it says, Hoylo Kelim Noyim Umatzos Nos. You had nice Kelim, you had nice spreads. Okay, there it says, Malon the Sukkah. You bring them into the Sukkah at the beginning of Yantif. Okay, and it says, because most people made their Sukkahs on their roof. That's why now, when we want to get rid of it, we say, Morid taken out. As Rashi has, at the end of Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kufna and Dalet Amid Beis. Okay, so when do we do it? Min HaMincha L'mala, the Ritva says, from 2.5 hours before the end of the day. Okay, why? They covered Yantif Achron Shel Chag. They're getting ready for Shmini Atzeres. So Rashi and the Rav say that it looks like you're getting ready to go to the place where you're going to eat that night. And in Shulchan Aruch, Chayin Simen, Tafrei Samach Vav, Sif Aleph says in Chutz Aretz, when you have to still stay in the Sukkah on the eighth day, okay, so we learn that once you finish eating on the Shmini, then you take your on the eighth day, then you take your Kelim and you can take it out of the Sukkah. Okay, and again, that's a controversy, exactly what we in Chutz Aretz they do on Shmini Atzeres in the Sukkah. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Tes says, from Mincha Ketana Ulamala, okay, from that later in the afternoon, and Shmini, he says the eighth day in Chutz Aretz is like the seventh day in Eretz Yisrael, but before that, it doesn't look like you do anything with the covered Yantif. So wait until it gets closer to the Yantif to take your Kelim out for the next Yantif, for the Shmini Atzeres. Tzvi Yisrael asks, isn't it Megan from Yantif Chavera? If you're taking something out of the Sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah to get it ready for Shmini Atzeres, isn't it like you're Megan one to the other? So the Dirshu Oath 9 brings from the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Gimel that since at night you can't take them out of the sukkah, it's too difficult at night to start maneuvering everything out, so you can take it out in the day, and since you're not putting it in your house, like you're not putting it in a normal house, you're just taking it out of the sukkah, it's not considered a big tircha. So moving on to Perek Dal, the Mishnah Tess, which the Gemara is on also on Daf Memches Amud Aleph, it says, Nisach HaMayim Ketzad. Okay, now we're talking about the Nisach HaMayim, just the introduction. The Mishnah already, Mishnah is going to say in Perek Hey, Mishnah Beis, that on Matzah Yantav HaRishon Shel Sukkos, after the first day of Sukkos is finished, and that Matzah Yantav, there was a big simcha in the Beis of Mikdash called Simchas Beis HaShoeva, okay, which is a party for the water they're going to be bringing into the Beis Midrash, going to draw up the Shoeva. Okay, so close to the morning, two Kohanim who were standing next to the Shaar Nichner would blow with their trumpets to let everybody know that they can start the procession to bring the water from the Nisach, for the Nisach HaMayim on the Mizbech. When they got to the 10th step, between Shaar Nichner to Ezra's Nashim, they blew another time. When they got to the floor of the Ezra's Nashim, because they're going down 15 steps from the Azara, the real Azara, down to Ezra's Nashim, as they were walking down, they got to the floor of the Ezra's Nashim, they blew a third time, and they kept blowing until they got to the actual eastern side of the Ezra's Nashim. Then they stopped, they turned around, faced the base of Mikdash, which was on their west, and they said a tefillah, like the Mishnah there says in Parakeh, Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Shem, we'll get there shortly. Okay, from there they went down to the Mayan HaShiloach to draw water up. The first Yisrael says that the Nisach HaMayim, this whole mitzvah, is Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. So how did they actually do this? The Mishnah says, Tzluchas Shel Zohav Machzekas Shlosha Lugim HaYimamalim Neshiloach. They filled up a golden bowl that held three lugim from the Shiloach. Rashi Rav says that is a well near Yerushalayim. You can still go there today and check it out. And it says, why three lugim? That was the smallest amount that they used for nisu, for pouring in the Beis Hamikdash, which is a revias ahin, a quarter of a hin, which has a hin had 12 lugim, a quarter of it was three lugim, and they used that when they brought a carbon, a kevis, a sheep. So, the Taisus Rabbi Peretz on Daf Nunim and Aleph, the Ramasul Emaisi writes, you don't have to have a kohen who's going to be drawing the water out of the Mayan HaShiloach, even though normally avodas were done by the kohenim. This outside of the Beis Hamikdash drawing the water is not considered something you need to have a kohen do. So the Mishnah continues. He giyu l'shar hamayim. When they brought the water back from the Shiloach, they got to the Shaar HaMayim. And taku yirite fataku, they blew the shofar again. So when they came back to the Shaar HaMayim, Rashi and Rav says, one of the gates of the Azara was called Shaar HaMayim because that's where they would bring the water from that they would use for the libations, for the pouring on the Mizbeach, on Sukkos. So they blew the taku v'ariyo because it says in Yeshaya, Perek Yud-Beis, Pasuk Gimel, U'shafta mayim b'sason. It was a festive occasion when they drew the water. Then, Olav HaKevesh, they went up the Mizbeach on the ramp, Rashi Rav says, which was on the south side of the Mizbeach. Tver Israel says, the one who was carrying the pitcher of water would go up on the ramp. Upan L'smolo, he would turn to his left when he got to the top of the Mizbeach. Even though normally they would turn to the right, in this case, would turn to the left. Rashi Rav says, when they did these nesachim pouring onto the Mizbeach, that was done on the west southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, so when you turn to the left, you'll hit that corner right away. And Rashi adds, that Maseches Zvachim Daf Samach Yomot Aleph, they learn it from a pasuk, and the Gemara Memches Mabez brings a braiso, which is similar to a Mishnah in Zvachim Samach Yomot Aleph, that Kol Olam Mizbeach Olam Derech Yemin. Normally, you went up to the Mizbeach, you always turned to your right, and you went around the Mizbeach, and you came down to your left. Except, the Mishnah says there, the braiso says, except if you're going up for three things, that you go up directly to your left, and you, when you return, you just turn around, you go back the way you came out. And these are the three, Nisach HaMayim, which we're doing now, pouring the water, or Nisach HaYayin, they poured the wine on the Mizbeach in every carbon tamid. And the Olas Ha'of, Kishinis Rabbah, Mimizach, too many Kohanim doing the carbon Olas Ha'of on the eastern corner, they would send some to go on to the west. Okay, and the Archaner brings that the Nisach HaMayim was done at the same time as the Nisach HaYayin, right after the Avoda of the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Ketores and the Menorah. The Gemara in Zvachim Samach Dal Amud Aleph explains that if he would have gone his normal route to the right and then go around the whole Mizbech, there's a chashash that maybe the wine or the water would get ruined by all this smoke that was coming up from the fire on the Mizbeach. And it says, Ma'amidbar Parachav Ches, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Tamimim Yiyu Lachem Ol Nischeim. They should be complete. They shouldn't be ruined with the smoke. So so they turn to the left. And where did they actually pour it? Shnei Sapalam Shel Kesef HaYishan. There are two basins of silver there. The Verzerel says they were attached with the cement to the Mizbeach, and one was used for wine and one was used for the water. Tesu Yantzer there brings a question of Taisus: how did they take the water from the pitcher of gold into the basin of silver? We say Ein Moridim Mikdusha, we only go up. Now we're going down from gold to silver. And Taisus explains that the basins were attached, we said, with cement. Okay, they weren't kelim, and the nechshev we treat it as if it's the guf of the mizbech itself, and it's just like lavona that were in bezichim of gold that they would pour, they would burn on the mizbech. So here we're taking it directly as if we're taking it from the pitchers onto the mizbech itself. There's no going down in kedusha there. Rabbi Yehuda, Aymer, the Mishnah says, shall sid hayum. They weren't silver basins by the Mizbeach. They were actually lime. But they turned black because of the wine that was spilled into them every day. Rashi the Rav says, wine, okay, it looks like silver, which is dark from the lime. Chidushi Maram Shapiro Milablim, the one who made the Daf Yomi, explains that the reason the machlokas between Rehud and Chum is, the Rehud holds that silver is like metal, which is possible to be by the stones of the Mizbeach. The stones of the Mizbeach can't touch the metal, and therefore they were made from lime, which is not metal. And the Tanakhama holds that it doesn't possible, just the fact that the pitchers were silver, and therefore they can be made from silver. As Yanta brings from the Gemara and Daf Ches and Beis, Amar Mar, that if you poured the wine into the one of water, you are Yotze. Okay? And therefore the water one would also get discolored. Because I was wondering to myself, even as I was saying this, I had forgotten this point, that, okay, you have two basins there. One maybe gets discolored. That's the one where the water, where the wine was poured in. So how did the one of water get discolored? And as he said here, the Taisus Yantar from the Gemara, that if by mistake it was okay if you poured the wine into the water basin, if it was by mistake, okay, it was okay, it was allowed. And therefore, sometimes it happened by mistake, and that's how the basin of the water also got discolored at the same time. And Mishnah continues, Umenu Kovin Kimin Shnei Chot Mendakim. And there was holes like two thin nostrils. So Rashi and the Rav both say that there was a nostril in one basin and a hole in that nostril. And the kohen would pour from the pitchers and the liquids would flow down through these nostrils to the roof of the Mizbeach, and there on the Mizbeach there was a hole that the wine and the water would go down to the depths of the Mizbeach, the Shisen, which were hollowed out and very deep. Taisus explains that the chotmen, the nostrils were actually built in the mizbech, like a pipe that underneath the basin goes straight to the shisen, so it didn't have to go onto the roof of the mizbech. It would pour it in and go straight down. Mishnah says, Echad ma'uvav echadach. One of these nostrils was thicker and one was thinner. Rashiav says, the one which was thicker was the one of the wine, and one that was thinner was the one of water. Why? Kidei she'eshneim kalan v'asachas. When they would pour the water and the wine at the same time, they wanted them both to flow together at the same time. So, as Rashi and Rav say, water flows faster, more than wine, because wine is thicker, and it goes quick, and it goes out. Therefore, the one of the wine was thicker, and the one of water was thinner. So even though water would flow faster, there was more wine going down at the same time, and it would even out to finish this avod at the same time. This is the Ramas called Echad Ma'uva writes, the Lashon Ma'uva, why say Ma'uva, not Rach? Why didn't say it was a wider hole? Why did it say Ma'uva, thicker? So he's telling that the bottom of the basin was thicker, and since that it had more room in it, so it would hold the liquid longer till it went out. Now the Mishnah continues. Ma'aravi shalmayim mitzrach l'shal yayin. There were two nostrils, two holes. The westernmost one was from the water. The easternmost one was wine. Rashi and Ravik say they were both put on the keren next to each other, these holes, one inside the other, one more to the west, one more inner, more one to the east. And Tesefta and Sukkah Perek Gimel, Tesefta Dalet, explains that the basin of the wine was closer to the Kohanim because it has a preference to water, because the Nisach of the Yayin happened every day. When they did the Karban Tamid, they always poured wine, but the pouring of the water only happened the 7 days of Sukkot, so it didn't have to be done too often. It was further away, and the one which was used more often was closer. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Yir shalmayim tolch shal yayin, shal yayin tolch shalmayim yotza. If, as we said before, you mistakenly poured the liquid into the wrong basin, it was okay. The wine into the water basin, the water into the wine basin, it was okay at first. So it says, if you made a mistake and you switched and you poured the wrong one in, it's okay. The answer brings that this is Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, but the Rambam has a different pshat in Hilchos Tamidim, Perek Yud, Halacha Zayin, that he said if you poured them both into one kli, it was okay. So it wasn't just coming in two separate basins and pouring it into the two separate pitchers, pouring it into the wrong basin, but they were both poured from one pitcher. He says it's okay. You mixed them together, and then you poured it into the basin. The curious sefer there writes, he wonders if it's okay to dilute your wine, because you're mixing it together. You're mixing wine and water together before you pour it, so it's diluted wine. And he wonders how that is feasible, how that works. Actually, the curious sefer is wondering if it's kosher, if it is diluted. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belug Hayimanasach Al Shmona. It was a lug that was the measurement, the volume of the water that was poured all 8 days. Rashi and Rav say, there's a double machlokus here. One is, Tana Kama says, use 3 lugim, and he says only 1 lug. And Tana Kama says, for 7 days you do the pouring. And the Yehuda says, even on the 8th day, you did the pouring, but Lach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Pharisee Yisrael says, since we didn't mention Rabbi Yehuda earlier when we mentioned the 3 lugim, and we had an interruption before we got to this, and before we mentioned Rabbi Yehuda, and even with the machlokas at the end of Rabbi Yehuda, by the basins we see that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you drew up the water in a kli that had 3 lugim, okay, it would be okay. either because you could see the mitzvah better because you're carrying a bigger kli from the shiloh to the azara, or he said it's a good idea to take it from the three lukim down to the shiloh, because you don't want to take a kli which is the lug size, which is mekudesh, to take that down to do to draw up the water, because it would be puzzle when you took it out of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and we never see anybody ever taking Kli Sharis out of the Azara. And the same thing later on, we'll see Mishnah says, Lachu Chavas, they took a Chavas, not an actual Kli of the Beis HaMikdash. Tesi Yantar explains, Rabbi Yehuda argues, because he holds that Shmini Atzeres is a Ribui to Simcha Shlamim, like we had before. So here, or also, we should be marred by the Simcha of Nesuach on Shmini Atzeres, which is also called the Simcha. And why a lug? Because maybe he holds like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yaakov in Menachas Perek Tes Mishnah Gimel, holds there that even if though he had a mincha of 60 isaren, you only bring a lug at a time. And since a person here is, we're doing a stam and a dava, he's only going to bring a lug. If a person makes a stam and dava, he brings a lug. So here too, there is no exact definition in the Torah how much you should bring for this Nesach Mayim. So he also says, take the lug, which is the minimum. And also, maybe he learns from Mitzara Ani, who also brings a lug of shemen, one lug of shemen. And even though that's a yachid, and here we're talking about a tzibar, we're going to learn from the minimal carbon. And he also found in Rashi, finally, in Zvach and Perek Yud Gimel, that it was Halach Lamash V'Sinai that he learned that you use only one lug for the Nisach HaMayim. That's what he held. Okay, for the Menasech, the Mishnah says, Omer Lo Hagbe Yadcha. They tell the person who was doing the Nisach of the water, raise your hand. Rashi the Rav says, because you should see that he's actually pouring the water into the basin, because the Tzukim don't agree with Nisach HaMayim. They want to make sure that this Kohen would do it correctly. Why? Shepamachas Nisach Echer Agavi Raglav. Once a Kohen poured it on his feet. The Rav says he was Tzuki, and he poured the one on his feet. And the article brings from Josephus that this is Melech Yanai. He was a Rasha, but for 8 years he acted like he was a proper person. In the 9th year, he finally changed his mind to show in public what he felt, and he poured it on his legs to show b'kavana he didn't want to do the Nisach HaMayim as the Chachamim told him he should. So what did the people do? Ragmu kol ha'amba'is rogeim. They stoned him with their esrogim. Josephus adds on that Yane was so upset about this, he took his mercenary army and he set them loose on Klal Yisrael there in the Beis HaMikdash, and they killed 6,000 Yidden in the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Yantif brings from the Gemara and Yuma Dav Chazayin to teach you that this whole idea here of the esrogim being thrown is to show you that the Nisach was done in the morning when people took their Luluf and Esrog. Finishing up here for today's shiur, we're doing Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud, to finish the Perek, which is the Gemara is in Daf Mem Chesem at Beis, and it says, K'maseh b'chol, kach maseh b'Shabbos. Whatever they did on the weekday, did it on Shabbos. El Yishayim Amalim, Erev Shabbos, Chavish Shalzav, Shein Mekudesh, Ezmin Shuloch. For Shabbos, they filled up a pitcher, a barrel of gold, which was not Makodesh, and that's what they used from the Mishiluach. The Rav says it was a barrel which wasn't a set yet for the Avod of the Mizbeach, because if it was taken from something that was Kodesh, it would be possible Belina, that any Klei Sharis is Makodesh what's in it, as it says in Shmos, Perek Lamed, that Kol HaNogei Behem Yikdash, V'chol HaKodesh, Kedushas HaGuf, Nisla Belina, anything which has Kedushas HaGuf is possible with Lina. Rashi adds on that any Kalim that Moshe made, he was Mekadosh them by doing a Meshicha of the Shemen on it, and from that point on, the Avoda they did was Mechanach them for the Mizbeach. So here they took something which was not used yet for the Mizbeach. So Israel says, on Shabbos, they didn't go in the morning outside of the city to draw up the water because you can't carry it from Shisarab and Shisayachid. So they had to do it the day before. And what did they do then with the water they drew the day before? The Mishnah says, Menicha Balishka, they put it in a special office to hold it overnight. Nishbacha O Niskal, so the Mishnah says, it was spilled or got uncovered. They would take it from the kiyar. Rashi and Rav say, there was water inside the kiyar, and the water in the kiyar, even though it was Nimshach, even though the kiyar was Nimshach, and it was Hukdish, it's a Kli Sharis, and it's Makadish, any water in it, but there's no problem of being possible Lina, because at night, as we had in Mishnah's humor, they would let it sink into the ground through the Mukhni machine it was built. And for Israel says, still, if it was one day the water from the Kiyar all the time, because whenever it was possible, they took it from the Mayan Shiloh. It had a better water there, higher quality water, so they always liked to use the Shiloh water, except for Shabbos, they couldn't. They used, if it was spilled, and they had to refill it, it was taken from the Kiyar. Why is a problem with the Megulim? That we said before in Niskalsa, the Mishnah says, Shayayin v'mayim ha-Megulim pesulim l'gad b'mizbech. The Rav says, the reason why Niskala, you have to take it from the Kiyar, and you didn't use it for the Nisoch, if it was uncovered, because water and wine, which is a Megulah, is possible from Mizbech, and Rashi adds on. Why? Because we're afraid maybe a snake drank from it, and its venom got mixed into it, so you'd end up not pouring just water with the shear that you needed of the lug or the three lugim. You're going to have some venom mixed in it. You're going to be pouring, and that would mess up the shear. You won't have complete shear of mayim. This is Yantav brings Maskana the Gemara that we learned not from this whole thing of worried about the snake, but we learn from Malachi, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches, Hakriveyu no lepecha secha. Would you bring such something which is a little disgusting to your ruler? Hayirtzecha, would he like it? Hayisa panecha, would he uplift your face? Amar Hashem Tzvachas, Hashem says, you wouldn't bring this to a regular person. You're going to bring me something which is not so nice, that you can't do that. Tzvah Yisrael asks, why didn't they bring the Pasuk in? Why don't they bring a pasuk? Because it's in the Torah, Mivchar Nidarecha. You should always bring something more fine, as we have in the Gemara, Yu and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The answer is that pasuk is used when there's no mum in it. If you have two choices, something better, something not better, take the better one. You'd learn from Mivchar Nidarecha. But here there's actually something missing. Here it was Megula. Okay, it was spilled, so it was actually missing. It is a mum in it. Then we use the pasuk, Hakrivu na lebechsat secha. You wouldn't take something which is deficient and give it to a human ruler. Kol shekhen, you wouldn't bring it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the end of our shiur today. We finished this parak, Baruch Hashem, parak dalet in Maseches Sukkah. Any questions, comments, complaints, you can reach me at sheldon_rothman@yahoo.com. Or call me at 052-244-9331. Have a good day.